up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. Kind of a fun Short Shifts for you here today because the Mega Show tackled the 470% or less owned players from each team draft with some of the guys from Fantasy Hockey Life. And tonight we've brought on another Fantasy Hockey Life host to give you kind of something somewhere between a Mega Show and a Short Shift. Hopefully we will keep things moving quickly. I'm your host, Louis Ezekiel.
Yes, and this is the Short Shifts News Network presenting you today with all the news you need for your fantasy hockey week. And I'm Ryan Downey. And we start in Pittsburgh, where after a well-publicized feud with Columbus Blue Jackets head coach Dean Evason, Yegor Chinnikov's trade request has been answered. He finally gets his wish, being traded on Monday to the Pittsburgh Penguins for Danton Heinen and a pair of mid-round draft picks. This was a deal that took a while to come together, with Don Waddell saying on Jeff Merrick's The Sheet podcast this morning that me and Kyle have talked more about this to each other than we've probably talked to our wives. And a more Kyle Dubasius trade there never was, as he is always looking for underutilized skilled players to give an increased opportunity. GMs generally encourage their head coaches to showcase their newly acquired trade spoils, and so expect to see Yegor Chinnikov draw into the top six in place of either Anthony Mantha or Justin Brazeau. He should get his chance to show a new team what he was convinced of in Columbus, that he's a top six player in the NHL. Unfortunately, he couldn't play today, Tuesday, because he arrived in town just as the morning skate was ending. That being said, you couldn't ask for a better schedule for him this week, starting in his new home of Pittsburgh on Thursday before a quick back-to-back road trip in Detroit and, yes, against the Columbus Blue Jackets in his old barn. So he'll get his feet wet at home prior to a quick getting-to-know-you road trip with his new teammates, culminating in an opportunity to return as the conquering hero. I don't know about you, Louis, but I can't wait to see him with Evgeny Malkin someday soon.
Yeah, I really like it. I think this is a great opportunity for Chinnikov, who obviously was not getting the opportunities that he wanted in Columbus. And of course, we have seen a number of wingers be fantasy relevant in Pittsburgh. And I think Chinnikov certainly could be one. We've seen bursts of really nice fantasy relevance for him before in Columbus when he was in the better graces of the coaching staff. So that's definitely a guy I'm more interested in having him in Pittsburgh than I am in Columbus, where, you know, they seem pretty set on who their contributors are. Let's jump over now to Vancouver, where Elias Pettersson, the forward Elias Pettersson, has made his return. He missed 8 games with an upper body injury and returned December 27th for his first game as the sole franchise player in Vancouver since Quinn Hughes has been traded while EP40 was rehabbing his injury. He did score a goal in the Canucks shootout win over the Kraken. Canucks fans and fantasy managers will certainly look for him to get going. It'll be a tall order, though, with the talent that has been bled from the roster over the course of the season. He takes a top line spot between Kane and Besser for now, which pushes Marco Rossi down to the second line with Connor Garland and Liam Ogren. We did talk about probably seeing Rossi lose that top deployment. He has remained on the top power play for whatever that has been worth, in large part because, Ryan?
Jake DeBrusk was a healthy scratch versus Seattle on Monday night, and Adam Foot described this as a reset for DeBrusk, who sits on the season at 17 points and hadn't scored more than one goal in his last 16 games at the time of the scratch. Liam Ogren, as you mentioned, Lewis, jumped into the top six and contributed an assist with the increased time on ice, as well as the shootout game-winning goal on Monday night. I did mention in a previous episode of Short Shifts that Liam Ogren has the skill set to slot anywhere in the lineup, and it looks like the Canucks have figured that one out now, too. Linus Karlsson stepped into DeBrusk's top power play role on Monday night and ended up scoring an even-strength goal for his trouble. Foot did end up bringing DeBrusk back into the lineup on Tuesday night, but on the fourth line, which left Liam Ogren in the top six. Lewis, I guess winning the game gets you another look in prime deployment. Nothing yet for Ogren or DeBrusk in Tuesday's game.
And nothing yet for Brock Besser, who is a guy that I finally parted ways with. I know Elon talked on the Matchup Maximizer, which you should definitely listen to because he does some good news coverage there as well, given the setup with the mega show this week. But yeah, he mentioned that Besser had been dropped in his division. I have dropped him now as well. One of my all-time fantasy faves, but just not hacking it so far this season, even with Elias Pettersson's return, at least so far. This is your permission to drop, as if you did not already have it ready to go. Let's head over to Long Island, where Bo Horvat made a return on December 27th after missing five games with a lower body injury. He scored a goal against the Blue Jackets. He was a little more nervous that there had been more damage done. He kind of had to be talked down a little bit by the doctors. I like that side of things where, you know, you are being quite cautious and the doctors are able to tell you, hey, it's not as bad as you think it was. And so it's nice to see him making that return after leaving a game versus Anaheim on December 11th. The Islanders really have been suffering a whole bunch of injuries. Obviously, Matt Barzal has been out, Horvat, Jonathan Drouin, now Ilya Sorokin. At points in recent weeks. So I'm sure they will be happy to see Horvat shed the hospital bracelet and hopefully the others as well and start to build some consistency moving forward. As of Tuesday morning, we saw some lines that combined Horvat and Barzal. I know on Saturday during Matchup Maximizer, Elon mentioned guys like Simon Holmstrom, who I believe stayed hot here on Tuesday. But yeah, you know, we did see some combinations of Horvat and Barzal together. So this might be one to check out on Frozen Tools and see how those lines actually shook out. You can search for the game day lines or the last three game lines. But yeah, so the head coach was asked about this change. He said the impetus for the decision was Callum Ritchie's impending return. He scored a goal on Tuesday, and the desire to play both Ritchie and JG Pageau as centers. We'll see if it holds, but historically when the Islanders' two best forwards have been paired together, it has been a really nice combination. Getting onto the goalie bit just a little bit here, David Rittich had a great start filling in for Sorokin with three quality starts in a row. But he lost to Columbus with three goals against on 31 shots. And as of this writing, had surrendered two goals on 14 shots during Tuesday's game. It looks like that game is finished up with a shootout win from Bo Horvat. So Rittich did get the victory today. Sorokin is your goal saved above average leader, which is a list that Rittich also features on. But I imagine as things have started to cool off a bit for Rittich here, Sorokin should be fine, retaking two out of every three starts once he returns and is healthy. And another, speaking of returns, Ryan, take us over to Buffalo and talk about one of their most important pieces.
Yes, just as Sorokin retakes his job in New York, Rasmus Dahlin returned Monday night against the St. Louis Blues to retake his job from Bowen Byram. He missed only one game versus Boston after a slightly longer Christmas break in Sweden with his wife. Given what they've been going through this year, I think that is perfectly acceptable. And given how hot Buffalo has been, I'm sure they didn't mind at all. Dahlin did have five shots in a very active 4-2 win against the Blues Monday night. Bowen Byram took the corresponding time on ice hit after a very strong 28 minutes over the weekend versus the Bruins.
Yeah, I think Byram probably returning more to what you could expect from him previously. So if before the recent hot streak he was valuable to you, he may still be. Otherwise, it might be time to move on from him. You know, we talked about that game against St. Louis when he took five shots. The Blues got a Christmas present with Jordan Kyrou and Jimmy Snuggerud returning over the weekend. This was also something that Elon mentioned a bit, but we can kind of expand on it more that they've had a little more experience. So obviously great to get these players back for their own skill sets, but certainly the presence in the lineup has that knock-on effect of starting to slot the rest of the roster more appropriately. If you were someone who was, you know, grabbing Jonathan Berggren, for instance, to, you know, get some exposure, he did have that one hot game. But yeah, time to let those dreams go. No more Berggren or Fabry in the top six. Jake Neighbors back to the top line. So this all was looking pretty positive, right?
Yeah, that's what we were going to say, Lewis, before Jim Montgomery's comments last night after the game about Jordan Kyrou. The full court press from the head coach to his star winger continued with this comment post-game Monday. Jordan Kyrou needs to move his feet. He's a weapon when he moves his feet and he's skating. He's creating turnovers. He's skating pucks wide. I just didn't see him doing those things tonight. And as of Tuesday morning, indeed, Jimmy Snuggerud supplanted Kyrou in the top six, and Kyrou found himself on that sheltered scoring line in Snuggerud's spot with Stenberg and with not Ivar Stenberg. That's the good Stenberg. Otto Stenberg and Dalibor Dvorsky. The lineup blender certainly is in full swing in St. Louis, with Berggren back on that top line, Lewis, and Jake Neighbors on that Shen Snuggerud second line. Kyrou has maintained his position on the stacked top power play with Pavel Buchnevich, Jimmy Snuggerud, Rob Thomas, and Justin Falk, and the hope is that the coach's clear requests from him to improve his pace of play will catapult him back to the top six. Snuggerud and Kyrou have chipped in a goal and an assist respectively since their return, so even if Jim Montgomery is not happy with Kyrou, he's off to a good start for fantasy managers at the very least. And players like Pavel Buchnevich have joined in the fun as well with two goals since the return of their two skilled players. As you mentioned, Lewis, the Blues' other offensive players will have more room to skate with more options for the opposing teams to have to shut down. So despite the drama between Montgomery and Kyrou, things are looking up for the Blues offensively.
Yeah, you know, we've mentioned a few coaches and some of their concerns about the way their players are playing. You hope that it kind of goes the way that things went maybe with Matthew Nyes when he took a seat for a while, played some time low on the lines, but has come back and been really successful. Made a very nice move, muscling his way in for an empty net goal today. So I know I was a little nervous about Nyes, but he has been quite productive. And maybe some of these guys will see some productivity after getting this, stern reminder, you know, shake off a little bit of that midseason malaise and get out there and make something happen. Also, speaking of the Blues, we should continue to see Braden Schenn stick in the top six for now, since Pugh Suter has been ruled out for at least 4 weeks with an ankle injury. I would not expect to see Dvorsky move up the lineup right now as he has in the past. Schenn has been on a nice little mini run, actually. He scored the first goal for St. Louis in each of the last two games, and he's been giving managers a couple shots and hits as well. Still kind of the usual boring potential ad, but there are three games in the next 4 days, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning. So if you want to maybe get him in the lineup for Friday's game, I believe against Vegas, or if you have room for him Wednesday or Saturday, those might be some good options for you as well.
Yes, Lewis, one man's injury is always another man's opportunity in the National Hockey League, and Columbus Blue Jackets played their third game without Zach Werenski Monday night. So who gets that opportunity, you might ask? Well, of course, it's the former captain of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Denton Mateychuk. He has been the beneficiary of Zachy Dubs' absence with 28, 27, and 26 minutes per game in that time, turning in one goal and three assists. Obviously, Columbus would love to have their franchise cornerstone back in the lineup, but they have to be impressed with what they're seeing from their young defensive prospect. You don't see many 21-year-olds playing almost half of an NHL game, that's for sure. And turning in the positive results, I think they're probably pretty stoked.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine. And, don't say we didn't tell you, because this is somebody that Elizabeth and I talked about last week on this show as a potential, you know, exciting option. And, you know, we know how things go with Zach Werenski, that he does spend time out of the lineup. But now we have some more interesting options to feed in there. Much more exciting than the Adam Boqvist, who some of the prospect guys maybe were excited to see jump into that line, but never really produced anything. We're seeing Mateychuk produce. So that's really exciting. Very cool to see. Obviously great for Columbus for the times when they're, as you say, franchise cornerstone defenseman is out. As long as we're talking Columbus, Sean Monahan could not play Monday night. This is a little distressing to me because he played fine on Sunday, gathering two assists and making my match into quite the nail biter before Eli Tolvanen decided to put things in the bag. Dean Evason said after Monahan took warmups, he just couldn't do it. Probably had a lot to do with the day today, not a lot of routine to it. You know, just things being what they are during the holidays. Cole Sillinger moved to the middle of the ice and impressed, said Evason. Does that mean that Sean Monahan is going to maybe sit out some games and get recovered? We may know by Thursday's broadcast, but at any rate, with Monahan and Isaac Lundstrom missing the game on Monday, Zach Aston-Reese drew in. Don't be surprised if newly acquired Danton Heinen finds his way into this lineup, given the way that these injuries have played out, and of course, the gap that Igor Shinnikov leaves in the roster as well. And, you know, now we have come full circle from the Shinnikov trade. Probably a good place for us to take a break here. We will catch you on the other side with more news as well as some hot streaks. You're listening to Short Shifts.
The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger the payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites, and it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. We took a short break, which is unfortunately not the case for the next player we'll be discussing. It was announced on Monday afternoon that Linus Ullmark would be taking some personal leave from the Ottawa Senators. In the aftermath of the announcement, his teammates offered their full support, with Thomas Chabot stating, "I think the only thing we can do here as a team is be there for him during that time and support him as best as we can. And I know the whole team's going to do that, so however long that takes, I think that's all that matters at this point." Sounds like it could be a bit of a long absence, and that's not great news for the Sens, as the first game of the Ullmark-less era did not go well, with Levi Marilainen turning in a poor performance against the aforementioned injury-depleted Columbus Blue Jackets. Hunter Shepherd has been called up to the Senators to back Marilainen up, and after last night's performance, maybe even challenge for some starts. Mads Søgaard is also waiting in the wings, as the Sens have no shortage of quad-A goalie options. Hopefully one of these guys can hold down the fort while Ullmark takes the time he needs to handle his business.
Yes, and of course, we join the team in wishing Ullmark all the best as he deals with whatever he is going through. Of course, everyone is fighting a battle that you cannot see. So it's important to keep in mind, these are human beings who are out there, not just slots on a spreadsheet. Speaking of some injured goalies, we got to turn to Utah, where Karel Vejmelka was injured and Matt Vialta was called up in relief. As of right now, it is Vitek Vanacek's season. Unfortunately, he lost his first start as the de facto starting goalie versus Nashville, turning in a really bad start. That is a sub 850 save percentage and a minus 1.35 goals saved above average. That is one of those dauber metrics that'll show you that he cost the team the game, because the difference in the goals saved above average is greater than the difference in the final score. A really nice game for Steven Stamkos, who will feature in our hot streaks section. You know, I would probably just ignore the Utah crease until Vejmelka is back. Vialta is not likely to do much. He's just been an average goalie in his considerable time in the AHL. If you're looking for volume, Vitek Vanacek is likely your option, but don't necessarily count on him for those valuable rate stats.
And talking about injured goaltenders, Lewis, we had a major news story that broke yesterday with Pyotr Kochetkov of the Carolina Hurricanes electing for season-ending hip surgery. And so, yes, the three-headed goalie monster in Carolina is slain, at least for the season. Rod Brind'Amour says he'd been playing through it all year and just couldn't do it any longer. With Kochetkov out for the season, Brandon Bussey will have the opportunity to prove whether he can keep up his winning ways as a full-time member of the goaltending tandem. He looks to be the clear option to get the bulk of the starts, with Frederik Andersen not meeting the mark in the same sample size of games as Bussey. Bussey did get the start and the win versus the New York Rangers last night with the typical two goals on 17 shots that Carolina goalies are known for.
That's right. You're always going to have a couple that are really good shots that make it way past the defenseman trying to block it and the forwards trying to block it and the goalie themselves, you know, only allowing those, you know, really, really, really fine shots. It's a fine vintage of shots allowed over in Carolina. I wanted to talk a little bit about Anderson. He got blasted with 5 goals on 28 shots on Tuesday against the Penguins. Should Freddie owners drop him even with one fewer body potentially blocking starting time? I know Kochetkov hasn't played a ton. He's 36% rostered in Yahoo, just 10% in Kakupful. But even those 10% of Kakupful divisions were snoozing, right? This has been really grim for Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, he's had 6 really bad starts, Lewis, with a sub-850 save percentage in 6 of his last starts. 7 starts. You have to go back to November 1st to find a game with a positive goal saved above average and back to a 48-shot blizzard against the Colorado Avalanche on October 23rd to find a game that he stole for his team.
Yeah, so if you are one of those teams on Yahoo still holding on to Freddie Anderson, if you are one of those teams in the Kakupful, this, again, is your permission to drop. This guy has been just an anchor for both your fantasy team and for Carolina. I think they're going to try to rely on him maybe as little as possible. Thank goodness for Carolina that they found Brandon Bussy, and that has them on top of the Eastern Conference, on top of their division. Things are working well for them, but by that same token, I don't think they're looking to give away games by having Freddie in more than he needs to be.
And just to close the loop, Lewis, on that Hurricanes-Rangers game on Monday night, I want to talk about a little bit of jostling at the power play quarterback position for both of these teams. Shane Gostisbehere missed Monday night's game with a slightly tweaked groin, and Alexander Nikishin took his spot on the top power play, contributing with an assist on Sebastian Aho's power play goal in the first period. I know, Lewis, you've been a Sean Walker booster all year. Nikishin and Sean Walker were the ice time leaders against the New York Rangers, with returning Keandre Miller close on their heels. The Hurricanes, like you said, will keep rolling no matter who gets injured. And then over in New York, we've been talking a lot about Scott Morrow and potentially making that leap to being a more full-time option on the Rangers power play in Adam Fox's absence. It appeared on Monday that Vladislav Gavrikov had supplanted Scott Morrow on that Rangers power play, a decision which paid off instantly for Mike Sullivan and the Rangers, with Gavrikov scoring his first career power play point with a slap shot goal from the top of the circles. And you just know he's jawing in Mike Sullivan's ear about getting more time after that one. Unfortunately for Vlad, it may all be for naught, as Adam Fox was spotted practicing on that unit Tuesday morning, perhaps forecasting his return against Washington on Wednesday. And as for poor Scott Morrow, he had been kicked back to power play 2 on Monday night. However, now with Fox practicing on power play 1, Gavrikov has taken his spot there as well as of this morning's practice. Clearly, in Mike Sullivan's mind, he has some more dues to pay before he gets the prime opportunity again.
Yeah, I am happy to return to a world where it's not important for me to know who Scott Morrow is. With all due respect to the player, I could use that brain space for something more productive. I wanted to just get back a little bit to what you said about some of the defensive some of the defensive items in Carolina. I have definitely been a Sean Walker booster. I like him for the bash. He has not really done a whole awful lot of production offensively, and I think there are other defensemen out there who will give you something similar. So especially with Keandre Miller coming back, I think I would be ready to move on from him if it were not for the 5-game week. I know what you had to say about the 5-game week when we talked about it a couple weeks ago ourselves. But I will say that a bash defender over the course of 5 games is something that I am interested in. And I believe I brought that up when we discussed it last time. So, you know, a guy with a nice floor who has the, you know, is going to get you a couple fantasy points a game and has the potential to point maybe. I'm okay with that over the course of 5 games. But yeah, I've been looking to pull the trigger on Walker for a minute. But it just, you know, with the way the schedule is shaken out and obviously the big week this week, I think his stay of execution is extended a little bit, but that's going to be a Monday morning guy that I imagine I'll be moving on from.
And we'll move from one of your pet favorites in Sean Walker to another one of your favorites, Braden Bowman, who found himself in practice today on the top line. You may be wondering, well, why is he doing that? Well, that's because his best buddy, Jack Eichel, is skating in a regular jersey with Ivan Barbashev and Braden Bowman on that top line. Jack does look like a possibility to return versus Nashville on Wednesday, and so keep an eye on gamedaytweets.com for confirmation today.
Yeah, you know, also probably a good sign for Ivan Barbashev, although he's been doing okay on his own. I did end up dropping both of those wingers from Vegas to fit in some more games, as I have been clawing for every point that I can. Barbashev was snapped up. Bowman, I think, is still laying around. Definitely more interested in Barbashev, but I could see taking a stab at Bowman, especially with a potentially vulnerable St. Louis team coming up soon on a non-busy Friday for you. So that could be an interesting option. But I haven't shed a lot of tears about not having Braden Bowman on my team since Eichel has been out. But obviously his return could be a nice little boost for him. And finally, just to discuss one of the more interesting stories from Tuesday morning from the Toronto Maple Leafs. You want to take us through some of the challenges that these Maple Leafs have been facing, but also overcoming?
Yes, I'm coming to you live as the boots on the ground reporter here in the hockey mecca. The Toronto Maple Leafs announced that Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Christopher Tanev, and Dakota Joshua would miss Tuesday's game in New Jersey. You could say, Leafs fans could facetiously say that the team has been playing without their star players for the better part of the last month. So what does this really change? Well, the answer is quite a lot, as Jacob Quillen and Matt Benning were called up as insurance for Tanev and Joshua, and the Leafs power play at practice consisted of Morgan Riley, Matias Michelli, Matthew Nyes, Max Domi, and John Tavares. So you'd think, Lewis, that this would be the harbinger of a really bad time for the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday night. However, the New Jersey Devils didn't seem to take them all that seriously, as Toronto's depth players led by John Tavares, Matthew Nyes, and Bobby McMahon blanked them 4-0.
Yeah, we had an inauspicious tweet before the game started from a New Jersey beat writer, something along the lines of, yeah, Matthews and Nylander are out. We've got Jacob Markstrom in goal. What could possibly go wrong? And it turns out plenty. Because they put out quite a, not the most impressive effort, certainly, in that 4-0 defeat. Part of it was Joseph Woll just playing really, really, really well. Part of it was some unfortunate choices made by Markstrom in terms of, playing the puck and getting back into position. Just an ugly look as New Jersey is trying to get things back under control with Jack Hughes returning. He was wearing a glove under his hockey glove to keep that hand safe and padded. And hopefully he'll be getting back to the good stuff here soon. This does give me an opportunity to talk about Bobby McMahon, who I've been quite interested in. Bobby McMahon has sort of been a bit of a diet Ely Tolvanen over the last 9 games. We'll get to him shortly. Since he's returned from injury over the course of 9 games, he's got 6 points, about a shot and a half and a hit per game. But he's seen his minutes rise significantly as first Nylander and then Matthews have gone out. So if you just look at the last 6 games, you see continuously climbing time on ice, not counting today's relatively easy win over New Jersey, where he contributed plenty in the 14 minutes he did play. He's seen about 3 shots a game during that time. All 6 of those points that were mentioned earlier were scored in the last 6 games. So, give him a few games to get his feet under himself after having to leave for injury. And suddenly he looks, quite attractive. A point per game, 3 shots per game over the last 6. So if you are in a deeper league, consider giving him a stream for Thursday against Winnipeg, even if those star players remain questionable. That offense has got to come from someplace. And if it's going to come from Bobby McMahon, that could be a nice option.
And Bobby McMahon rhymes with Jared McCann. And Jared McCann returned December 28th after missing 6 games with a lower body injury. The Kraken have been ravaged with injuries, missing McCann, Berkeley Catton, Brandon Montour, and Jaden Schwartz at points in the last month. So they've got to be happy to get their best offensive player back. He did score a power play goal against Vancouver on Monday night in a sheltered scoring role on the third line with Shane Wright and Berkeley Catton, which Seattle has the luxury to do given how offensively potent the rest of the team has been in his absence, including Lewis, the NHL's second star of the week, Ely Tolvanen.
Yeah, let's talk about Tolvanen. And he's been on a tear in McCann's absence, and he's actually kept it up reasonably well since his return, right? You mentioned McCann getting that sheltered role that let Tolvanen remain in the top of the lineup. And in the 9 games since McCann went out, Tolvanen has played under 18 minutes just twice and was in the 17s in each of those games. Put together 10 points over those 9 games. Yes, 2 of them were into an empty net on Sunday night, but you got to be on the ice and you got to be shooting to score into an empty net. I'm sure his fantasy owners did not mind one bit. He's also given owners a bit over 2.5 shots, over 2 hits, and close to a block and a half per game. So really filling the stat sheet. Like I said, he's kind of the you know, one evolution up from McMahon in terms of what he's providing us right now. Seattle is 4 games a week over the next 3 matches after this one. So Tolvanen is a guy I would be keeping an eye on. Maybe if your match seems more or less resolved by Friday, Saturday, it's somebody you make an early move on, because these Seattle players, not only are they doing well, but they have a favorable schedule over the next few weeks.
Yeah, despite the lack of snow in Seattle, it is certainly the most wonderful time of the year for your Kraken stocks. And we're going to talk about Jordan Eberle as part of that as well. I would say that this is not especially useful to Cupful-only GMs as keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, since they are on the ball with 98% ownership across all keeping Carlson divisions. But Yahoo leagues have been slow to figure out that there are fantasy values to be had in Seattle that have been beaten down towards the average by time on ice distribution over the last several seasons. It's just not the case anymore, as Tolvanen's climbing ice time shows. I don't think we've seen many Seattle players hit 22 minutes a night, and Tolvanen hit that the other day. Short term, Jordan Eberle has 4 goals, 1 assist, and 5 points in the last 4 games on 12 shots in goal, so you like to see that. Going back to the start of December, he has 11 points in the last 13 games and is averaging around 3 shots per game with some spare hits and blocks thrown in, with over 18 minutes in 8 of those 13 games. Is it just bad Seattle vibes? He just happens to be 107th in Cupful scoring, though admittedly 150 in per game averages. Most Yahoo leagues should have this guy rostered, as he is ranked near Andrei Svechnikov, Valeri Nichushkin, Juraj Slafkovský, even Nick Schmaltz, who had a hot start to this year. He's around there as well. So Jordan Eberle is a guy who should be rostered in most of your leagues.
Yeah, you know, we talked, I think, on a few occasions during the year, like when we saw, you know, what Anaheim was able to do offensively, even though that's cooled down a bit. But we talked a bit about kind of, you know, reframing our ways of thinking, not getting stuck in old ways of thinking. And I think we need to start readjusting how we evaluate Seattle and not just look at them as a team where everyone is kind of stuck in the mushy middle. It does seem like some players who are performing well are getting some nice opportunities. We mentioned this a little bit before. Take us to Nashville. Tell us about what Steven Stamkos has done. This is a guy who, admittedly, I have said should not be on a roster at times during this season. I was smart enough to avoid, you know, the panic with Alex Ovechkin. I was not smart enough to do so with Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, Lewis, only 6 players in the league have had more goals than Steven Stamkos since November 1st. He scored 2 against Utah Monday night and now has 17 on the season. To be fair, 6 of those goals came in a 4-goal game and a Utah game, but they all count. He's shooting nearly 2.5 shots per game. Again, buoyed by some high shot games in December, his shooting percentage has come more in line with his career averages, so it makes one wonder, has he finally regained his scoring touch in Nashville? One of the biggest mistakes that you can make as a fantasy manager is thinking that just because something was one way a month ago, that it's going to continue to be that way all season. These are professional athletes, and when they see something is not working, they're going to make attempts to fix it. And it looks like Stamkos has done that. Adam Vingan, a beat reporter for the Nashville Predators, did an interesting analysis of the tale of 2 seasons for Stamkos, contrasting his first 22 games this season with his last 16, where he's been scorching hot. Stamkos has increased his shot quality by taking more shots from the inner slot, increasing his expected goals per game by nearly double, from 0.29 goals per game to 0.53 goals per game. If this holds, with 46 games left to go, he could fall just short of the 40-goal mark. It's obviously more likely that he ends up as a 30 to 35-goal guy, but what a turnaround for one of the league's most decorated modern-era goal scorers.
Yeah, it makes you kind of wonder, like, what if he started the season like this and then went into that lull? You know, what would be the narrative versus what we're seeing now? Obviously, it's great to see him find his game and figure out what some of his problems were and start to produce. I would love to be playing against the October version of Steven Stamkos this week. But, you know, luckily here on Tuesday, I got a little assistance from Nick Suzuki to help keep things close to even. So to all the Stamkos owners who hung in there, or to those who were able to snap him up when he got dropped, I hope you are just loving the gains. And it's a reminder to myself, I got to, you know, not be so ready to you know, bury some of these guys. I learned it in some places, but still got some blind spots. Ryan, as we talk about star players getting their legs under themselves and figuring things out and taking a little victory lap for all the haters out there, I think you want to do something a little similar here. I'm going to give you that opportunity. The floor is yours.
Yeah, talking about burying guys, Lewis, I've suffered the slings and arrows of short shifts and keeping Carlson mega show hosts of all stripes for my love of the prospects. And to all the prospect haters out there, I present to you Igor Chernyshov as a compelling case, who I recommended on the December 16th short shifts. And he has, since that day, turned in 2 goals, 4 assists for 6 points in 6 games and is averaging nearly 3 shots on goal per game. So to those prospect haters out there, I say checkmate. With Will Smith and Philip Kurashev week to week and not even being evaluated until after New Year's, you've got a roster lock if you were lucky enough to pick him up. And just to share one more thing, I know that there were some San Jose beat reporters out there who were saying, you know, we love Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith together, but if only we could get a big guy who could shoot on their wing. And to that I say, well, you've got a perfectly good Igor Chernyshov right there. So maybe he'll stick around for the rest of the season, and maybe this is the top line to be for the next decade in San Jose.
Yeah, not the most exciting week schedule-wise for the Sharks, but, you know, you've got some players who I think have some availability. You mentioned Chernyshov, Alex Wenberg, another interesting guy who picked up a couple assists in the last game. You know, I know that Elon talked a bit about Colin Graf and the unsustainability of what he's doing, but obviously that's been a really exciting adventure for him as well. So, yeah, keep an eye out for those Sharks. Again, we are trying to change our way of thinking. It's been hard to ignore, obviously, what the Sharks have been doing, maybe compared to some of these other folks that we've been discussing. But, yeah, really great to see some of these new opportunities. Really great to see what the future might look like, you know, when the future is indeed teal. All right, Ryan. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this short shifts mini mega show as we work to fill in some of the gaps, make sure everybody is fully up to date with all of the latest and greatest fantasy hockey news. There will be another show on Thursday featuring Nick and Shams. If you enjoyed listening to the newest member of the team, Nick, he's going to be on again, joining Shams on Thursday. So really looking forward to that. And, of course, thank you all for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and any supporters can interact with Brian Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best information from X, including team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.